I've got a good one this week. What's the difference between a cat and a comma?
Cat and a comma. What's the difference?
One has claws at the end of its paws, and the other is a pause at the end of a clause.
Welcome to the Managing Editor Show. I'm Alyssa.
And I'm Jess.
Every Tuesday morning, we jump into your earbuds to talk the down and dirty on all things writing, editing, and content.
From the perspectives of the guardians of the publishing galaxy, the folks who approve your submissions and make your words not suck.
So, we got a pretty great review from someone recently. Jess actually happens to know him fairly well. Jess, you wanna tell us a little bit about what we got?
Yes, I do know him pretty well because it's my dad.
Yay!
He says, Jess and Alyssa, see, I listened. I made it personal. In parentheses. Congratulations on the launch of the podcast. Upon listening to the first few episodes, I now know why Jess yells at me for my emails and my posts. Side note from me is that I always yell at him because he's always like, he just like has typos, even though every email program has spell check, like everything has spell check. Anyway, sorry. He says, I promise to do better and I downloaded Grammarly so I don't have to bother Jess as much and get yelled at. Bravo. I promise to share with my educator friends. They could learn a lot. How sweet.
Thanks, Dad. Sweet. And we appreciate the sharing as well, because our show only can carry the mission so far. It is up to you guys who are listening to make sure that you share this with other people so that they can know not to suck and make their daughters yell at them over email. So absolutely. If you want to share and want to help us get the word out, a great way to do that is leaving a review like this one on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll give it a shout on the air, and we'll also share your joke or funny quips if you include them, because Jess really likes them, and I like to laugh.
Perfect.
So this week, we actually have a request from the audience on a topic for discussion. We've been asking for this for 10 episodes, so we finally got one, and we're super excited about it.
Yes.
Thanks to Adrian Rosebrock from PieImageSearch.com, who sent us this note on Twitter. Episode suggestion. Founders who treat editors like VAs versus founders who hire to get tasks off their plate. Basically, how the right or wrong founder can make an editor's life awesome or miserable. So, not that this would ever happen, because every founder we have ever worked with is a wonderful shining ray of light in the universe, always.
Always.
Always. But hypothetically, Jess, if you encountered someone who can make your life miserable, what might be some of those trigger points for you?
Yes, I love this question because we did talk about that issue of sometimes people hiring a VA or someone who doesn't have any editorial experience to do this. So I love that Adrian mentioned that and brought it back into the different side of things, because it's not something that we talk about very often. The founder or the manager side, mostly because we can't always control who's in charge and what they want or need, right? So ideally, I mean, if we're the ones that are going to work for a company, we choose that company to work with because we agree with and believe in their mission. But that's not always the case. And just because we agree with their mission doesn't mean that we actually, you know, work well with the founder or have things be all peachy keen all the time.
Not always warm fuzzies.
No. I mean, and that's just the nature of work in general. Even if you do get along with someone, even if you love everything they're doing, it's not going to always be rainbows and sunshine. But the first thing that really grinds my gears is when founders or CEOs or whoever just don't really understand content strategy at all. And that's okay. I mean, I think that's part of why people do hire other people to do this thing. But when they have this like shiny object syndrome, where they're just looking from one thing to the next, and they send you one thing to focus on today, and then 3 seconds later, before you even had a chance to work on that first thing, they're already pointing you to this guy who does this thing, or that gal who does that thing, and why aren't we doing everything everywhere all the time? But I hate it when the powers that be don't understand that strategy takes time and that resources are finite.
So the doing what everyone else is doing thing is huge for me as well. Like when you hire a managing editor, I get you're like trying to compete most likely with someone else or other someone's in your space. You see someone else doing something cool. You see someone else building a lot of authority, maybe getting a lot of the speaking gigs or the clients that you wish that you had. Unfortunately, what happens a lot with founders is they go out and they hire someone to be the expert in this content strategy thing. And then they say, all right, so come in, run my content strategy, set it up to be exactly like company Z. It's not necessarily going to be something that you can just apply to your site and magically get the same results by trying to copy or imitate someone else. And further, it's really fucking obvious when you are being that like insincere and like, you know, quote unquote, inauthentic for the buzzword bingo of the week. But it's good to have examples as a founder or a brand that's hiring someone in Adrian to like get these kinds of results. But you can't expect that they're going to create the exact same content, brand, feel, tone, voice, and vision of someone else. Because one, it's not you. And two, someone else has already done it. So you're just going to look right. like a fucking ripoff artist.
People notice. Exactly. And even though you may not have noticed right away and you might think, oh, this is such a great strategy. How come I wasn't doing it sooner or whatever? It's like, well, that's because it's their strategy and, you know, find your own. Find your own. You know, we say find your one thing or find your unique selling proposition. And it's unique for a reason because it has to be related to you. I totally agree. We could probably do a whole episode about that.
Mental notes.
Yeah. The other thing I hate is when founders aren't paying attention. And honestly, I think this is one of the biggest issues for any small business, especially when it's a small business, because they think they can do everything. They're working really hard. They've been growing the business on their own, which is really, really great and really respectable. But usually the reason they hire an editor in the first place is because they actually don't understand or can't pay attention to everything. So they should, you know, trust the person that they hired to make recommendations and do the fucking work. And if they're gonna let them do their job, they should also make sure they're setting aside time to review the job. So you don't, as the founder, need to understand everything, but you need to be able to have conversations with the people that you hire and make sure that they're focusing on the right things. And this is especially true for smaller businesses, but it's also true for big companies. I mean, You could argue that a small business founder and a huge business founder are equally busy, just in different ways, right? And they still need to spend time with their managers, with their editors, with their department directors, whoever, to make sure that things are going the way they expected. And the reason that they need to do that, in addition to just being a good fucking manager, is that they need to build up that trust. They need to be able to hire and focus on things that they need to do. And they have to be able to make sure that the people that they are working with are doing the things that they expect. I just hate when people come to me and they're like, hey, what have you been doing? It's like, no, what have you been doing?
Yeah, to dovetail that off that, a major problem for us with owners and brands in that whole like expecting to do nothing in the process is that they want like really high quality authority level articles, but they don't want to be involved in it whatsoever. And like, I get it. You hired someone so that you don't have to be involved and don't have to work on that stuff. And so you think that you can just like hire someone who's a really great expert either at writing or creating content or editing or maybe all of those things, and that you can just kind of like brush your hands and walk away from it. You're looking for a very set it and forget it type of method, which works if you're like running, you know, a niche site or like some e-commerce brand or something where the readers and audience isn't expecting like high authority from a site owner or like a brand personality. So it can be done, but it's usually low-level content. It's not very specific, and it's definitely not unique to you if you don't want to have anything to do with it. So I've had it happen. I know lots of writers that have been duped into like the same type of arrangement, only to be let go 30 days later when the articles are shockingly not high quality, not super informative, and not in-depth at all because, you know, you aren't giving any of the information that the writer needs to make it that way.
I mean, we work with people like this all the time who, right, like you said, you know, it's sort of a combination of our two points is the recipe for disaster. You need to be able to trust your person, yes, but you also need to be there for them as a manager, as a founder, the owner. You have to be there for them and help guide them as they go so that they can create the things that you need. And so I guess this is a good segue into how we think that things could be better. And Adrian had asked both how our lives could be made miserable or awesome.
We like the positive spin, like the positive.
Yes. We're not just ranting over here. So I will share one way that I think founders can make our lives awesome. And that is, and I think this really ties together our points, is give us your goals. Tell us, what do you want out of this, what you really want out of your content, so we can help reach them. We need your vision, but we're happy to dig in and do the work if we know what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, too many people go, oh, I want a blog, or I want a Snapchat channel, or I need to be on Instagram and do Instagram stories. And that's like, and to go back to sort of copying other people, I mean, that's sort of seems to be what a lot of people are trying to do, but that's not a reason to do anything. The reason to do something is to reach a goal or to hit a certain audience or to figure out a way to make all of your dreams come true. So if a blog or a beefed up website copy or a Snapchat channel or whatever is going to help you do that, then perfect, do it. But to go back to that shiny object syndrome and that sort of copycat syndrome, do it for a reason and do it for a strategic reason, not just because somebody else is doing it, and then let us know and help us help you.
You know, for the goals, for the beefing up copy and Snapchat channels and everything, like, I'm going to get tough love here. Shockingly, Alyssa's going to be blunt and a little mean.
That never happens.
Right? It's the source of why I have so many beloved friends and followers. But do not hire a managing editor or a content creator as a silver bullet. Like, you are wasting your money. I'm telling, I like money. I like people to pay me money. I would love to take on a ton of clients, but I'm telling you right now, you're wasting your money to hire me most of the time. Because what you're doing is you want to hire someone that's going to come in and fix the problems that you already have. You know, a managing editor is a big hire for a brand. So for me, like, something that a founder can do that can make my life like ideal and happy and everything else is to do the fucking work to make your brand kick ass before you hire someone else to come in and do it. Because I can't fix a broken website with content and articles. I can't fix a marketing funnel by just putting a bunch of social media leads out there. Like, if your core business isn't built the way that you want it to be, and again, going back to your great point about, your goals and your tactics and making sure that everything is kind of driving back to that main vision and purpose. If your stuff is doing that, then when you hire a managing editor, it just does it that much better. But if you don't have that to start with, then like you're just wasting your money. I don't want to waste your money. I don't think you want to waste your money. So help me help you by having a great brand all ready to work with.
Right, right. And to that point, and if you don't, that's okay. But you need maybe a branding expert or a bigger marketing consultant to come in and help you clean that up before you get someone like us in there to actually make the trains run on time. Exactly. That's a great point.
Or like if you're going to bring us in to make the trains run on time, we may have to do all that work before we can like start the locomotives up. Because yes. Otherwise, we're putting your train on a tracks that's like just going to go off the rails. Look at my analogy.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yes. So another thing that really drives me up the wall, in addition to knowing what the goals are, is having specific action items and benchmarks. Or I guess what drives me up the wall is not having specific action and items and benchmarks. I'm super deadline driven and goal oriented. So when someone says, I need a report on how this posted or on how the last 3 months have been going by this day or whatever, I'm like, sweet. But when it's just an ongoing project and there's no sort of looking back or looking forward, and you know, there's never any accountability or push to show project, I just sit here and truck along in my yoga pants like a sad panda. This sort of, I guess, doesn't really have anything to do specifically with being a founder, but rather being a good manager in general and making sure you're holding your team accountable for what they're working on, because I really think that everyone needs that. And if you ever are working with someone who you're like, what are they doing? Or why aren't they getting things done? Or how come I haven't heard from them? Blah, blah, blah. The first thing is to look at yourself and look at your own leadership and management style and say, well, am I giving them projects? Am I giving them actionable deadlines? Am I giving them benchmarks? Am I giving them, you know, timelines in which to do things? Or, you know, am I being too vague? And so I think that when a manager or a founder can do that with us, it's super awesome.
My last point is, we talk about it pretty much in every single episode. And I know Adrian, as much as I love the suggestion and the fact that he's bringing content to us, because I love new things to talk about, Adrian is a client of ours.
So thanks. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So one, thanks for paying me, Adrian. As we were talking about previously, you're one of the people I actually like working with. So the reason I like working with Adrian is the final point that I'm going to make. And that is, be nice, be personable, realize that you're working with another person. Like, you're a founder of a company, you're busy, you've got shit going on. I totally get it. But like, I can't explain how much better the content process is and the management process is when everyone's happy and everyone likes working together. Making jokes, taking the time to get to know something personally about the person that you're working with, you know, letting them know things about you and having that personal relationship. It's all about relationships every single time. That's what it comes back to. And so if you're making the effort to be a really cool person and making the effort to understand what a cool person your managing editor is, much like the fantastic relationship, of course, that Adrian and I have, in which we both realize we are such cool people. But like doing that kind of thing, I think is really like, it absolutely, I, you know, love having professional relationships with clients, but the clients that I'm able to do the best work for, I find, at least as a content provider, are the ones that I have a personal relationship with and understanding of, because it allows me to add that extra piece to what we're working on. Wherein if it's just a very black and white static professional relationship of like a transactional nature, like that's what you're going to get back.
I totally agree. We had a relationship recently where the client was sort of kind of just feeling like something was missing in the writing. And we realized that it was because we weren't a part of the client's team. You know, we were an outside agency, and that's really hard for everyone sometimes because we're trying to write from that client's perspective. We're trying to really understand. And we sort of just had to kind of hash it out and say, well, can we get in your head or not? But even having that conversation is because we had spent so much time together and because we'd worked together for a long time. And so we're able to actually bring it deeper. And, you know, we still aren't sure if it's going to work in the long term, but even just being able to bring that up to each other and say, this might not be quite right because we're maybe not getting quite the essence because we're not you and we're not with you every day or this or that. We could do that because we had that personal relationship. The reality of that comment from the client was that it wasn't a personal attack. It was just like, okay, this kind of isn't right, but we want to make it better and we like working together and we want to make this work. So I agree that personal relationship is so important because then you can also bring things up that will ultimately make everything better, even if it's a hard conversation to have.
In business, in life, in personal, in everything, like having good relationships matters. Relationships are obviously super important, and we talk about them all the time, but sometimes it's not just about the people we work with. It's about like the cool tools and resources that make our businesses happen. So what's rocking your world this week in a non-person nature?
Okay, so this might not be as exciting as some of our other tool shoutouts, but it's really important. So I wanted to call out a few of the transcription services that I've been using more and more. SpeechPad, which is speechpad.com, has always been my tool of choice for fast and reliable transcriptions, and they charge by the minute, which is the case for most services like this, but their rates depend on how fast you need the transcription turned around. So like if I have something that I need and it's not urgent, you know, I'll make it be a week or whatever. And when I think it's when you have over 72 hours, it's 90 cents a minute. And then, you know, the faster you need it by, the more they charge. But I was recently introduced to Rev.com, which I had heard about before, but I always thought it was the same as SpeechPad, so I pretty much ignored it. Well, it turns out that Rev is always a dollar a minute, which I didn't know, and they turn things around within 24 hours and sometimes even the same day. So like I've sent something in the morning and I've had it by the afternoon. And not that I always need things that fast, but it's super nice to know that you can get something for a dollar a minute no matter what and get it back within 24 hours. So I wanted to shout that out. Transcription services are awesome for things like podcasts and videos. Some people, we don't do this. I don't know. I don't really think it's necessary, but some people do get their podcast transcribed and put the transcription in the show notes because some people like to skim the actual transcription as opposed to listening to the show. They're also great for videos, especially now that videos are like silent films half the time on Facebook. And so to have, you know, the captions in there is really important. But I've also found myself using them to transcribe speeches. My Social Fresh speech that I did in August, I've been working on sort of piecing that out and potentially writing a book or doing something like that with the things that I said. And so being able to actually use the words that I already spent the time, you know, creating that speech, might as well transcribe it and turn it into a blog post or turn it into a chapter of a book. The other thing I've done is recording client calls and transcribing them to make sure I don't miss anything or be able to refer back to them when we start working with them. So there are so many great use cases for ordering transcriptions, and I wanted to give a shout out to SpeechPad.com and Rev.com as two awesome and affordable services to use.
The internet still loves words. Google still loves words. Thank God. You know, they like audio and video for sharing. YouTube is the second highest search engine in all of the internet, but it can't search if it doesn't have the words to search. So this was a great episode. Thank you so much to Adrian Rosebrock from PieImageSearch.com for giving us something to talk about. And that, of course, was the right and wrong ways that a founder can make an editor's life awesome or miserable, his words, not mine, making sure you have great relationships with people, making sure you know what you want from the editor that you're bringing on board, and making sure that you've got like the systems and process and vision in place for your own business before bringing someone on to like magically fix something that is way more broken than they can address. Those are all things that a managing editor is really going to look for. And it's really going to make sure that when you spend money on that person, you're getting the best bang for your buck. Because as a founder, you don't want to waste your money. Like, that's a shitty idea. So don't do it. If you want any of the links and resources we talked about in this episode, make sure to jump on over to themanagingeditorshow.com/episode11.
And if you have any questions or ideas to contribute like Adrian did today, which makes it way easier for us to talk about things that you are interested in rather than whatever we decide to randomly rant about, head to themanagingeditorshow.com to leave a voice message or just send us an email at hi@themanagingeditorshow.com. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.